Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for listening to the Best Ever You Show here live on Blog Talk Radio, and then we syndicate out in download mode onto iHeartRadio. I don't know what they call it these days, Apple Podcasts or iTunes or wherever it is, but over there in Apple land, we're over there as well, called the Best Ever You Show. We're on Spotify and all sorts of places. Basically, wherever you download your podcast, we're there. And if we're not there, let us know, and we'll try and be there for you. So we promise to keep doing our show during everything that's going on. And this is a super special treat to have Mari Smith with us. Mari Smith is the queen of Facebook. I love this. She's a Facebook queen. And welcome, Mari. Thank you so much for being here. It's just an honor to have you with us.
My pleasure. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to chatting with you and adding value to your listeners.
Yeah, thank you. And premier Facebook marketing, but really, I think, as you said, we can kind of have a chat with you about various forms of social media, which makes me happy because I would love to figure out Instagram with you if we can today. There's about six of us authors who are struggling over on Instagram because we're all, you know, I wouldn't say we're the youngest, you know, we're probably all over 40 and we're like, you know, how many pictures can one take of oneself and hashtag it? So maybe we'll get some tips and expertise there. But your background, you've got like two decades of being online, offline, relationship marketing and internet technology, which is really exciting to have this level of expertise here because, you know, you're all over the world, the United States and everywhere in normal settings doing these wonderful keynotes and training to entrepreneurs and corporations. And people can go to marismith.com and check out more about you. I've been on YouTube, on marismith.com, everywhere. Do you have I suppose Facebook is the best place to direct people to, right? Where's your favorite, your absolute favorite place, right? To your Facebook fan page or your website? Where would you like listeners to go today?
Yeah, I mean, probably the most optimal place is the Facebook fan page or business page. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just Mari Smith, one with the blue check. Quite active on Twitter and Instagram as well. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. All right. So we've got a really shift happening. You know, it was sort of already happening, but it's really happening now since we're, you know, in our homes and so forth. What are you seeing out there as far as the impact all of this has had on like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter users?
We're all wearing two hats in essence. We're all consumers, right? We have our personal social media usage, right? Connecting with friends and family, or we go check our personal feed on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, etc. But then we're also those of us who are business owners or managers, entrepreneurs, marketers. So it's kind of this twofold what's happening, the impact of this global shift. And then, of course, the pandemic and the lockdown on the consumer side has caused a massive increase of time on these sites. So I saw a stat go by the other day that Instagram Live has increased by 70%. And certainly I've noticed every time I go to Instagram a few times a day, it's like the top stories, the little circles, they call them little bubbles at the top of the feed. It's like, you know, it's just full of people going live right now. So 70% increase, and it's a lot of celebrities and thought leaders and, you know, just speakers and authors. So we're getting this massive kind of like stampede, if you will, of people just, you know, spending more time online. And then also on the private side, you've got Messenger and WhatsApp and Instagram Direct. That's Facebook's three main private messaging products, if you will, or apps or features. So Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, and Instagram Direct, their usage has actually doubled and in some countries tripled. And so that's all from the consumer side. So then from a business standpoint, it's like, gosh, well, we've got this massive captive audience, double and triple what it was before the lockdown. What kind of impact would that have if we were to create some fresh offers, some new and different ways of helping our audiences? And so, you know, and I'm seeing, and I'm sure we'll get into it here as we carry on discussing here, Elizabeth, but what I'm seeing is, I notice like on the paid side, kind of makes me chuckle in a way, where I see some marketers, some advertisers, they're tone deaf. They're just like, you know, trying to like really capitalize in a way that doesn't feel integrous, or you just don't feel their heart in it. Where you've got others where just they're just really standing out and making sure that their messaging is really on point. You know,
Yeah, no, that's a really good point, to be on point, because it's a moment where you can say the wrong thing.
Yeah, and you know what we have right now is this opportunity. I don't even like to call it an opportunity, it's like this window, this invitation, this space into which we can step as businesses, that we have this opportunity. There, I go saying opportunity again. We have this invitation to like almost etch into the minds and hearts of our audience, where they'll remember us for a very, very long time after the pandemic has long settled down and kind of created a new normal. So the businesses are really standing out. I mean, Facebook and Google are actually doing some like cash grants. Facebook is like $100 million cash grants and an ad credit. But the thing is, it's a little bit like the SBA loans. It's like, from what I'm hearing, it's really, really challenging to, you know, apply, and if we jump through a lot of hoops and a lot of paperwork. So, but nonetheless, the fact that they're doing it is great. And then on the flip side of that, and these companies shall be nameless, so don't ever throw anybody under the bus, but seeing also a lot of kind of SaaS companies, where some SaaS companies are really classy and they're like giving 90 days free, where they normally would absolutely, they might have maybe a, you know, 7 or 14 day free trial and go right into a paid service, but they're opening up and offering like 90 day free trials. And then you've got others where they've kind of bundled up this offer and they're calling it like, it's okay, it's worth, let's give away, I don't know, like 1,000 accounts or 5,000 accounts, and it's worth $1 million, you know, it's normally like, you know, $20 a month or something, and you get 3 months free. So each person is getting, you know, a $60 value total if they do the 90 day. And they bundle it all, and then they're calling it, they're doing these big press releases and calling it a $1 million COVID relief fund. COVID relief fund, that's free account.
Yeah.
So there's different ways
different
of
it.
You could call it, yeah, and it, you could call it semantics, but then it just leaves you with that feeling of going, ooh, okay, I see what you're doing here. You've taken a bit of a PR spin and making it sound like you've got all this money to give away. We're like, oh, I see, this is free account. But anyway, yeah. So.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that I love about you is that you're straightforward in your messaging and your marketing. And when you land on your website, you don't feel like you're in this funky loop of like, what are you going to sell me? And how much is it? And what's this? And what's that? You know, all these different like funky little loopy off-rampy things. And I know on besteveryou.com, we don't do that at all. It's like what you see is what you get. When you click on something, an article is going to come up, or it's going to be a really straightforward enter your payment or whatever. It's not going to take you looping around. And do you think you have to still be really careful of that online, where you're clicking and so forth? Go to the user standpoint for a little bit for me, if you would, because I'm still nervous to click on things.
Yeah, well, you know, oh my gosh, we could unpack this. There's so much in what you just said. It's really powerful. So on the kind of the clicking around customer journey or visitor prospect journey side of things, I want to first bring up someone who I really, really admire is Donald Miller. He's created this whole body of work called Story Brand. It's just storybrand.com. He's written a book, Story Brand. The name of the book is. So it's the concept is being able to, you know, you are a guide. You're not the hero. If you go to the website of people that make themselves the heroes, and don't really speak to the needs of the visitor to the site, and then just instantly go, oh, I know why I'm here. I know what this person can do for me. And in actual fact, I'm actually working with a story brand web designer and completely overhauling my own site, shifting up the messaging just a little bit. But the concept here is the moment somebody lands, well, first of all, it starts with really being crystal clear and who do you serve, and having, you know, one or two or three, maybe usually people have a little bit more than just one customer avatar, you know, persona. So you get really, really crystal clear on who these audience segments are, and then that helps you to craft your messaging and speak immediately to that person or persons, and then they can self-select. Oh, okay, I'm on Best Ever You. I know exactly what I need here. I know exactly what I'm going to get. I know exactly where to click. And as Donald Miller calls it, you don't make people burn calories in their brains to figure out, wait, what
you doing?
What is this? It's so confusing. And so crystal clear messaging, and that's applicable any time, you know, pandemic or not. And then to just kind of address what you're talking about, like this last week, is a lot of scams and just bad actors trying to take advantage of this time where people are maybe more inclined to want to have an opportunity to, I don't know, participate in a business deal or do a fundraising. And so be really mindful about locking down all your profiles. I was just doing a Facebook Live about this yesterday and really imploring people to set up their two-factor authentication on all the important, you know, channels, all your social media sites, your email, your, of course, online banking, because it's just terrible. So many scams out there. This one that I got, I hesitate to use the word victim. I'm going to call it more like an experience. I attracted this experience to me, and I'm the one that made all the decisions. I didn't fully do my due diligence. It was, first of all, a speaking engagement back in March where they were going to fly me out to Sweden. And so that's why I never triggered any red flags, because I'm like, well, how are they going to scam me if I'm going to get all my money up front? That's what I do, a speaking engagement, half, 50% deposit, and then the rest before I go, and I get on a plane, they paid for my flight. So it just didn't dawn on me that these were scamsters. And then they shifted it to video with the travel bans, and then it was this big COVID fundraiser.
Yeah.
And, right up to the point where there was money was changing hands, and then my bank called me up and say, this is a fake check, so this is fraud. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So my message is just be careful.
So it even happens to you. Yeah, I know. I've been having a lot of trouble on Facebook, actually, with my profile getting duplicated. And people and then it seems to, like, spam all of my friends, like I have a new account or some. I can't quite figure it out, but they're like, is this you? And so, I tend to, when it's somebody who is thought leaderish out there, those blue checks matter a lot, because you know for sure that that's the actual person that you're trying to reach.
Yes.
With their message or their book or their video and so forth. And a lot of us, as we kind of climb to that point of that blue check, we experience being duplicated or scammed or so forth as we're sort of climbing those ranks of more and more followers and so forth. So it can be like a little frustrating moment, like caught in a pickle in a way, like in baseball. Been very interesting.
If I can speak to that.
Yeah,
if I can speak to that real quick, because what's fascinating, what you're saying is that way back in the day, I actually had a blue check on my personal profile and my business page, and they're the same name. It's Mari Smith in both places. And then sometime, and this was whenever they first started doing it, I don't know, 10 years ago, but and then I just all of a sudden they took the personal profile one away, and I got this message from Facebook saying, oh, you know what, you can only have one property, either your page or your profile. We've decided it'll be your page, so you don't have a blue check on your profile. And I thought, okay, fair enough. But one little tip for you, and this would go for anybody listening in if you have this kind of challenge that Elizabeth is talking about, is that you can go into your settings and you can actually hide your friends. So it's not public facing. So anybody who's not your friend can't see who your friends are. Because what they do is they create a fresh fake profile and then they go through all of your friends and start sending friend requests.
It's been really interesting. The other thing too is, like, I wonder what you think about this too. Like, and this is a really nice conversation because this is a lot of what Best Ever You is, sort of a lot of baby brands or budding authors, traditionally published authors who have focused so hard on their writing and their book that their social media needs to catch up to them, you know, those types of things. And I have a lot of problem with my, so like, you know how you have your personal Facebook page and then you have your fan page. People are like, well, which one's which, and is this a duplicate, or is this one? It's just super funny. I'm like, just it's me. I'll tell you when it's not, you know, kind of thing. I don't know what to do about it.
Right.
But it's what's happening to a bunch of us. So, and you also sort of feel like you're duplicating content. Do you want to? I really want to talk to you about. This is a question from. And so many people that we're going to ask this, because when we said we were having you on, we took questions from our audience, and people are wondering, like, let's say I've got my message of the day and it's a quote or whatever it is. I'm posting that message on my personal page, my fan page. Okay, that's Facebook, my business page, Facebook, my Twitter, my Instagram, my LinkedIn, my, you know, there's, you could spend like 2 hours every morning when you get up just posting. Do you have any advice? Do you think people should hone in on one platform? There's
a question. Yeah. Well, here's this thing that I always encourage business people in particular to think through all the way through to the desired end result and then work backwards. There's no point in just posting stuff for the sake of it, to just check a box and go, okay, I've done my social media. Because ultimately, yeah, I have this wonderful saying I've had for over a decade that content is king, but engagement is queen, and she rules the house. And so,
it's about
relationships. Content is king. You've got to start with some content. Yeah, there's no question. Like, you're doing this radio show. This is content. A radio show is content. A video, a Facebook Live, a post, you know, images, links, anything that you create is a content. So that gives something for people to engage around, questions, you know, and then you want to have a place for them to begin to build that relationship with you. And yes, granted, we talk about meeting people where they are. I personally don't do anything like on TikTok or Snapchat. I'm not that active on LinkedIn. I've always meant to be, it's been on my to-do list for like 10 years. But I just choose. For me, it's always been Facebook and then a little bit of Instagram. I keep my Instagram active, and then I've always been active on Twitter for about the same length of time as well. And with Twitter, it's one of the easiest places to delegate, to get help for someone to do some content curation and then content repurposing. Like if you do a Facebook Live, someone could split that up into this different segments and, you know, shorter videos and things like that. The thing is, you don't necessarily want to have the exact same message across all platforms at the same time and just try to, you know, capture everybody. I don't know. I mean, there's tools out there where you can stream live and you're like, unless you're doing a big major event, I guess. But for me, it's like if I'm live on Facebook, I'm on my Facebook page, and if people are also commenting on Twitter, Periscope, or I'm streaming to YouTube, or I'm streaming across all kinds of different Facebook properties, it's like I am not able to engage with those people who are making comments. So I just choose to start with my page and then I repurpose from there. But back to the end result point is like being intentional with your content. Let's say you had a formula where you go, okay, 4 out of 5 posts are going to be just adding value. Maybe you have different categories where it's educational or informative, inspirational, funny, even humor is wonderful right now, appropriate humor, right? And then the fifth one is an offer, a call to action. It doesn't have to be selling something. It could be driving to a specific lead magnet, special, you know, free offer. It could even be just to join your Facebook group, because Facebook groups are a tremendous top of funnel. You know, I just really have that, the social scoop. People can find out on my Facebook page where that's the number one kind of destination other than my page. And then it's a really wonderful support community. for anything social media. It's called Social Scoop.
Love it. Are you proud of everybody who does the best they can with what they have on social media and their websites, even if it's self-created versus a marketing firm doing it?
Am I proud of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I have this kind of spiritual philosophy. I was raised a Quaker. I was raised in a small rural community in BC, Canada. My father was, and mother were, they were both very much practicing Quakers, and that faith is very much inclusive, accepting, peace-loving, just honoring others. And I think that, you know, my parents really instilled those values in me, and so I strive to, if I see something, if it doesn't resonate with me, as long as it's not outright offending me personally, you know, then it's like, I see content people create. There's many people in my industry in social media who I have diametrically opposed opinions to them, but I see their content and I follow them. We're friends, but I probably wouldn't share. I'm very, very particular about what I share, about what I curate, and even what I like, because I feel like even the like button is a form of endorsement. It's basically we're voting with our clicks. It's going, okay, I like this person. Even following. I see some people private message me and go, oh, I see you follow so-and-so or you're friends with so-and-so, and then they just assume, you know, I'm endorsing that person. Maybe I've forgotten years and years and years ago, and I go and double-check. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Okay, they're posting some weird stuff now. But the pride part of it, gosh, that's not up to me to say whether I'm proud of it or not, but I do believe that philosophy of honoring others. I do believe that the vast majority of people are truly doing their best. And absolutely, go use Canva. Use Canva to create your graphics. Use there's some great video tools like Wave.video or InVideo. They're both excellent tools. I've done some ambassador work for years for one or other or both of them. And so, yeah, we've kind of birthed this whole new world over the last several years of individual creatives where, no, you don't need to go and have a fancy agency, and, you know, if you don't have the funds, you know. So, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. That was a lovely answer. Is it true that you came to the United States with a very limited amount of money in your pocket and have grown into what you have, what you've built? I read somewhere online that you, I was like, is that fact or fiction? That's a great story. That's absolutely amazing. If that's true, I was wondering if you could elaborate.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 100% true. I arrived in San Diego, California in January of 1999 with 50 British pounds, which is about $100, and I had two suitcases, and basically that was it. And I knew one person, and what it was is that I had been an employee all my life. I left school super young. I could not wait to leave school, go right into the workforce. My father was a single parent. I mentioned about growing up in a rural community in BC, Canada. Both my parents were Scottish. My parents decided to divorce in the late 70s, and I was 12, my older sister 13, and we had three younger sisters, so five girls total. And my dad was the one that really had stayed at home. My mom went out to work, was 75 miles away, and so the time they got divorced, it was just made more sense to my parents that my dad would get custody. So he decided to move back to Edinburgh with all five girls. So I was there from 78 to 98, so 20 years in Edinburgh. And then out of the blue, and I left school real young, like I say, in my mid-teens. And then I just got this invitation out of the blue in 99 to say, hey, would you like to come to San Diego? I think you'll love it there. It's a long-lost friend I hadn't seen for years. And I just knew, Elizabeth, I tell you, some people say, they talk about a belief versus a knowing, and you know, I think about a belief where sometimes you can just, you have one belief and they, oh, is that really true? You're questioning it, you're not sure, but a knowing is like etched into every cell of your being. You just know, I've got a whole new life. And interestingly enough, for the entire year prior, 98, I had been putting together plans to launch my own business. I had the website, I was doing personal development, public speaking, working predominantly with lawyers. I worked with a lot of attorneys. And I was literally going into my bank to get small business startup loan, and I get this, and that's when I got the invitation to come to San Diego. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not supposed to start my business in Scotland. I'm supposed to go to San Diego. And so, I was determined.
It sounds super familiar. like me leaving Minnesota and moving to California and bringing two kids along and getting remarried. All of it. And you kind of leaped first. Were you licking wounds after that, or was it all smooth moving?
It was so smooth. I was so guided. I was also just so determined. I had a fire. I just had this fire in my belly. I just knew. I was willing to go out there and do anything, you know, and I was so fortunate. I have many talents and skills. I mean, secretarial, administration, marketing, love marketing, and people. Mm-hmm. I just love anything to do with people and technology. It's really been my passion since I was about 12 years old. It's just this combination of relationships and technology, and that's why I love Facebook so much. I love social media so much. It's just placed my strength. But one
it shows.
Thank you. One of the things that really helped me when I first came to this country is my father was a baker, and all his life was a professional baker, and I grew up with yummy homemade bread and cakes. And then I went to night school. I went to night school myself in my early 20s, and I studied cake decorating and confectionery making, and I had this beautiful portfolio of all these fancy wedding cakes and novelty cakes that I had made. And that is what basically was the clincher when I was over, and I had a 30-day return ticket. I could not get one way. I didn't have any papers. I had to get all my legal papers sorted out, get an immigration attorney. And it was like day 29, and I'm like, okay, I am not going back on that return flight. I know I'm supposed to stay here. I'm like, okay, God, I know it's
I love it.
Day 29. You got to give me a sign. Give me a sign. I'm not kidding. Like 1 hour later, this local baker called me and went, could you come in this weekend and give us some help? Their cake, it's Valentine's weekend or whatever, and they're like, we need some help decorating cakes. I'm like, thank you. That's my sign.
There's your sign. What kind of cake is your favorite, Mari? I got to know.
Oh, what's that one? My favorite is that German chocolate cake. It's got like the shredded coconut and the deep chocolate. Oh, my God. So good. I haven't had it in a million years.
Really good. Gluten. Uh-oh. We're going to start a German chocolate cake revolution here right now. Everybody's going to be baking that. Give us your best German chocolate cake recipe. That sounds good, doesn't it? We made sugar cookies the other day in here. It was my son's our son's 23rd birthday, and all he didn't want a cake. He wanted sugar cookies. And so I made about, I don't know how many dozen sugar cookies, and we're on to the last one, and they're looking at me like, what are we going to bake next? So maybe we'll do that. Good idea. So thank you for sharing with us. I mean, it's really interesting to hear more about you and get to know you better. Do you have like 10 more minutes to spend with us, a little bit more time, or do you have to go? Okay. We're getting questions. I knew we were going to get this about video. And so is video the best content that gets the most engagement right now, do you think?
Oh, there's no question. And it has been the case for many, many years with Facebook. And Mark Zuckerberg's come right out on one of the earnings calls, I want to say within the last 12 months, where he called YouTube out as his biggest competitor. And that's not in terms of the social network. We're just talking about the video component of Facebook and Instagram, too, in a way. But, you know, Facebook is really, really determined to become like one of the next generation streaming television shows, channels, sure, platforms like Hulu, Amazon Prime, Netflix, YouTube. I mean, they have a ways to go with the Facebook Watch, and you've got like their runaway most successful show is Red Table Talk with Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, and the daughter and the grandmother. It's done so well, and they've even actually syndicated it out and franchised it to I think there's going to be another one. Gloria Estefan, and it's not the same dynamic, but it's two female relatives, and they're doing like Red Table Talk Latino. I just saw yesterday that there was, I think Facebook Watch has just landed several other major. Pop Sugar was one of them. I like their workouts on YouTube. They've got a lot more, but 60, wow, I just looked out there, 60 new Facebook Watch series.
So because of that, the reason I'm laying all that foundation, because Facebook's so determined to be competing for those video view eyeballs, they're giving major priority in the newsfeed to all, like, video, recorded video, Facebook Live, and then they call it VOD, video on demand. Once it's been live, it's a video on demand. And then also a little used feature is the watch party. I just love watch parties. And people are way more likely to comment on a watch party than they are just watching a video by itself. And anyone can host a watch party. You might have seen the little popcorn icon that's on your profile, your page, your groups. And it's just basically like hosting a little video night. You can put any public video into your playlist and gather your friends, and they get merch in the newsfeed as well.
That's really neat. Is there one type of video that's more, I'm just going to keep using the word popular for lack of a better word at this point.
Yeah.
Like, does it have to be live or can it be recorded? Like, I know a lot of people are very nervous of, you know, hitting the live button on Facebook and being like, here I am. And I know we've had some great learning curves with that one. My friend and I, Chris Fuller, to teach each other, you know, how to do that. We'd be like, I can't hear you. And people are like, we can't hear you. And we're like, But we did live learning. It was so much fun. Live learning of Facebook Live was hilarious. There's really kind of no other way to learn that. I don't know.
Well, you're right. You're right. But the cool thing is you could literally practice inside of a group. That's what I do. I have a group that's just me and my partner in it. And I'll just stream live in there. I'll test the technology. I'll check with the camera, the lighting and everything. And so it's a great way to start. It's just practice your lives in a private group. But in terms of the most popular type, Facebook. So
we didn't think of that.
Live,
we didn't think of that. We just went live. Hey, here we are.
Yeah. Or there's another way to do live on your personal profile, and you can just set the privacy to only me. So you're still streaming. It looks like you're totally live, but only you and the only one can see it. So that's another possibility, depending what app you use. But live, just to let your listeners know that live on Facebook gets six times the reach and engagement than new release. I think they took it away. I haven't seen it in a while, but Premiere, where it's really cool because you could take a beautifully produced and edited video and then put it on your page and choose a date, schedule it, and it goes out and Facebook gathers up an audience as if it were live. You know, I see a lot of my friends doing that.
It's a great idea. Thank you for that. What do you think about bad video over no video at all? I mean, like, do you think everybody should be on video if they want to be on video? And what's the gauge of bad video? And what if it is bad video? Is it still okay?
It's so cute that you're asking this. You know, because what flashed through my mind is immediately kind of like that, again, those intrinsic values from the Quaker faith is like just to be honoring and accepting, because what you and I might look at something and go, oh my God, that's so bad, but the person's audience may just love it. Sometimes people just like down and dirty and authentic, you know, maybe the audio, you got to have good audio. So people will not forgive bad audio, but if your video is a bit wobbly or, you know, it's blurry or pixelated, they'll be okay with that. But as long as they can hear you. And the content, too, is like the content, and if you're authentic, people will tune in, you know, and so you got to start somewhere. But my personal preference is I want to look as professional, I want to look as television quality as possible with the best lighting, DSLR camera with a nice depth of field, the blurred out background. I don't do green screen, I just have a really nice setup, and 3-point lighting, so you get your ring light in front and 2 side lights and a decent microphone. Doesn't have to break the bank. You can get all of that for, you know, a decent amount. Although right now, I got to tell you, it's really heartbreaking to see how there's a lot of price gouging going on because there's such demand for webcams and cameras and studio gear. People scrambling all over the world to buy this stuff. So I've been seeing a massive increase in prices that people are telling me. But even though prices normalize or maybe get some secondhand, then, you know, do what you can to what you can afford to really improve the stream value. You know, I've had people literally jump on my live streams and go, oh my gosh, Maria, I have no idea what you're saying, but the quality of your stream jumped out at me. I had to come in and find out.
Yeah. So no, I like your videos. I noticed that too. You know, it's a real, it's nicely lit and so forth. And I always get pretty nervous of, you know, just with my TV background and so forth of being, you know, I've been in enough commercials and things like that, that I know the difference between bad lighting and good lighting. And, you know, it's hard to light this home office, and yet there's this call to do Facebook Lives and things like that. So kind of letting it go a little bit, but having the best lighting that I can have without being like turning this into, you know, a TV studio or whatever. But, you know, it's interesting. I know people are in those same modes where they're trying to get a message out, and it isn't necessarily, you know, the best background or whatever, but I don't know, I can still hear their messaging through the video stumbles. I'm kind of, you know, you get a little bit trained to it when it's, you know, general public on video and stuff like that, and people in your groups and your communities. And yeah, interesting. What do you think about, this is just random, the people who exercise live, like live plank challenges and things like that. I'm fascinated by what people will do live on video. They're brave. Mm-hmm. Kind of cool.
They are brave, and I think TikTok. I mentioned earlier, I don't do TikTok, but I know it has an incredible. Oh my gosh! We can tell it's only for the Gen Z, but I think there's a lot of more mature, even like great grandmothers or whatever, playing around with TikTok. Apparently, right now challenges are super hot. I mean, challenges are really powerful at any time of year or whatever's going on in the world, but. People love to, it's a way to connect right now, right? While we're in, most of the world's under lockdown, eventually we'll slowly open back up, and I don't think we'll ever go back to quote unquote normal, it'll be a new normal. But I think that this experience of these last 6-8 weeks or so, and I'm sure it'll prevail for a big part of the year, is how incredible technology is to be able to create these deeper relationships with one another. And yeah, if you get challenged to do a plank on video, go for it. That's your floats your boat, you know. But
yeah,
certainly,
I love it.
A fitness trainer, I think a lot of like gyms and fitness trainers are. This is really they're coming into their own now because it's like all like really all businesses. They did not have a strong online presence before. It's like now more than ever. They need to get themselves using social media, having a decent website, doesn't have to cost a fortune. Definitely shop around for help because I know there's probably bad actors out there cranking up their prices and not doing that good a job. So join a good community and get some peer support and peer referrals. But this is the time to really, turn the camera on and just connect with people, ask for help. I think the most important thing, too, is to reach out because I feel so, you know, it just troubles me to think about how many people are struggling with mental health, and maybe they weren't before, but now this is just really taking its toll, and they're not realizing that it could absolutely be reaching out and finding tremendous online support.
That's what we've done in our community. We've actually changed it to, instead of just Best Ever You, two of our communities, the Best Ever You and Your Life have combined to form one bigger group where we have conversations about mindset and health and so forth. And then on besteveryou.com, we've got besteveryou.com/coronavirus, which I never thought I'd create that in my life, but we have it. But what it is our community thoughts. So we've opened our platform up so our community can join and blog. And we have some really interesting sort of almost thought leaders emerging, new brands, new thoughts, new thinking, and certainly helping each other. So it's been really, really interesting to do that. Our groups are like, what'd you guys just do? I'm like, hang on, maneuver with us. We're going to make this bigger, better, and more conversational and engaged. And it's been so far really, really fun. And it's fun to have you on here. To kind of confirm some of the things that we're thinking, but also that so many people have emailed us to ask you. So thank you so much for your time in answering our community questions, because we had a lot of them once we said you were coming on. So many emails into the group, and we've covered most of them. with like 5 minutes left, the one thing we didn't cover was paid campaigns. Do you think I have two things to cover with you before we go. One is what you would like people, you know, to go do once they leave this show listening to it. Would you like them to buy your books, which are amazing too? You know, just steer us in the right direction of some of the things that you have going on so that we know where to go and participate. I saw a course too. So just kind of keep those in mind. But also, is now the right time to be launching paid campaigns? I've been very nervous. I have two new children's books out, and I'm like, I'm not launching a Facebook campaign promoting those right now. Should you or shouldn't you be doing things like that?
You know what? You absolutely should. There's two really cool things. Well, cool things. There's always a silver lining, right? So number one, the cost of Facebook ads is down by as much as 50% because you've had major brands and businesses have pulled their ad budgets like big time, like one of the first kind of almost like knee-jerk reactions, like, oh my gosh, wrong time to be advertising, pull, while the world kind of like got, you know, integrated and woke up to what was really happening. And that was like the first few weeks. And now it's like, well, you know, I kind of put them in two categories. If you have any product or service that caters to enhancing people's well-being, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, family, go for it. Do it. Get it out there. And equally, if you have any product or service that helps enhance people's finances, whether it's saving money, making money, investing money, trimming costs, or hiring people to help you grow your business, generate more revenue. So those two areas, well-being and finance, and, you know, children's books right now, you've got parents who are home more than ever, they're spending time with their kids more than ever have unprecedented amounts of time with their kids. So absolutely, what a beautiful thing to have a new children's book that they could really enjoy.
Yeah, no, that's good information too. Yeah, we've been hemming and hawing what to do. And I think a lot of people are in that boat. And I like what you just said, especially if it enhances people's lives in some way versus if you're just selling something just to sell it or whatever, you know, there's a lot of that too, but that's really good information. All right. So it's been so wonderful having you on, and I want to make sure people go to marismith.com and to your Facebook pages, which we will post in a blog all about you and being on the show, but you have books, all sorts of things. Is there any one or two things that you'd like people to go do? Because our audience is very used to that. Tell us what to do and we'll show up for you.
The number one place I'd like them to check out is my Social Scoop group.
Okay. Oops, I think the phone just cut off for some reason. We're probably, can you hear me still? Okay, so Social Scoop group. I'm going to talk from Ari and end the show because it just ended. So Social Scoop group and marismith.com. I'm not sure maybe that was a scheduled time. Let's see if we can get her back here. Hang on one second. Are you there?
That is Mari? You are. My phone is.
Yeah.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Mine did too. We're good. We go into record mode. No problem. So I was like, cover. The phone just dropped.
Yeah.
Social Scoop group.
thesocialscoop.com. Or you can find it on my Facebook page. Yeah.
I have so much better audio on you right now, too. The whole time we've been doing this show, we have a little bit of a crackle audio, and the audio is crystal clear right now. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Perfect.
I should have just called back in.
Sometimes that happens on when our show gets hits capacity with callers and things like that. We get a little bit of crackle, and I'm surprised you were able to call back in. Sometimes people can't do that. So, okay. Socialscoopgroup.com. And then
The Social Scoop.
Okay, sorry. And then can you tell us about your books? We're in record mode, which is great because people can listen to the show.
Yeah. So, I mean, the new relationship marketing, I wrote it really as evergreen. It came out quite a while ago now, 2011, 2012, it was first came out. But I purposely wrote it back then as evergreen as I could, and it really weaves a lot of these values that we've been talking about into the book, throughout the book, about connecting with people. And there's a whole chapter, and one of my favorites is on the new business skills that people need, and one of the top ones is empathy. And right now more than ever, we need leaders, business leaders, thought leaders that can really demonstrate empathy.
And so that's my book is available, my website or Amazon. The courses, I have one called Facebook Marketing Essentials. But one of the reasons I'm driving people or inviting people to come and join my group is because I'm literally in the midst of creating new programs, and that's the first place I'll be announcing them is in that group. And we're almost ready, but not quite. So I'll keep everyone informed over there. Of course, definitely my Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. And then we had one last question sort of straggle in, and that was about engagement. The question is, they feel like it's so important to have likes and followers, mostly followers. They're like on a quest for as many followers as they can get all of the time. And they're wondering if it's better to have less followers and more engagement or more followers. I think that's a really good question people might be thinking about.
And this would go whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. The thing is, again, you've got to come back to that end game. What are you wanting to create? Because I'd rather have fewer followers who are highly engaged and really great match for my target audience, for my avatars, versus just, you know, the masses. And okay, it might look good and it's public facing vanity number or proxy metric, vanity metrics, where it's like, oh, look at me, I got a million followers. Oh, whoopsie daisy, only three people ever bought from me, but at least it looks good. So, you know,
struggle.
It's nice. So after all these years to have some higher numbers, and you know, I look at my own Facebook page and I'm like, why don't I have a million followers? Why don't I have 5 million followers? Like, I don't care. It's like not about numbers. I serve who comes to me, and I market as best I can. And I think it's important to have to nurture your email list, keep your email list fresh, scrubbed, clean, work with an email deliverability expert, because I think these days it's more and more difficult to get decent deliverability rates, let alone open and click. So, but just really, now is the time to communicate more often with your audience in just really heartfelt, sincere ways. You know, I love what you're doing, as you mentioned, in your own groups, and then just having that whole coronavirus section on your website where people can just get help and resources and really lean in to the community that you've built.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we've been really trying to. It's comforting to hear some of the things you've been saying, because we've been really trying to hone in on, like, when you land on the website, what are we offering? What can we do for you? Versus look at me, look at me, look at me. Here's my book. Here's my this. Here's my that. You know. Instead of being like all up in people's faces with everything you've got, it's really actually about how you can help them. And that's one of the things I noticed instantly when I've been looking at all of the things that you do, and for so many years been a fan of yours, it never seems like it's about you. It's about what you can do to help other people with be their best, I guess. That's why you're here. And it's very cool how you do everything. Yeah. I love following you. So thank you for your thought leadership today and being here and struggling through some crackly audio until this moment. I don't know what to do. We've got crackly audio, but
wish we just addressed and called back in, but oh well, not to worry.
It's good. Everybody said they heard it perfectly, and it's quite a few people listening. So I won't keep you longer, but thank you, Mari, for being here with us. We certainly appreciate you and hope that you'll come back onto the Best Ever You Show, especially as we keep branching out into our TV show. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. Take care. And thanks so much for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Visit marismith.com for more information. And we'll post a bunch of links and a blog up to all the different things that where you can go visit Mari and participate with all that she offers. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Stay safe and well. Thank you, Mari.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.